Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. The Anti-Defamation League, or ADL, is a hate-based criminal enterprise masquerading as a human rights group. Its purpose is to destroy by any means necessary those who expose the parasitic, criminal, or genocidal behavior of Israel or other organized Jewish interests. Researcher Valdis Bell, writing in the American Mercury, documents the ADL's criminal connections. The ADL operates much like an organized crime gang, as their intimidation and in-your-face, life-ruining tactics make clear. And that's not just a result of overzealousness or an unreasoning fear of persecution. The ADL has direct connections to numerous notorious crime figures. Meyer Lansky, one of the architects of modern organized crime in the United States and connected with Murder Incorporated, was a strong supporter of and donor to the ADL. His granddaughter, Myra Lansky Boland, was an official of the ADL. Ironically, her position was listed as liaison to law enforcement. She arranged expense-paid luxury tours to Israel, the world capital of sex trafficking, for certain key law enforcement officials who had something to offer the ADL in return. Among them, Tom Girard, who was a corrupt police officer who was one figure of many in the ADL's theft of confidential police files. Now, who was Meyer Lansky? Lansky was born to a Jewish family in Poland and was brought to New York City as a child. His proclivity for crime showed itself early. As a teenager, he already was associated with fellow Jewish gangster Bugsy Siegel and non-Jewish crime boss Lucky Luciano. Lansky helped Luciano by organizing the murder of two other non-Jewish gangsters, so both Luciano and Lansky could rise in the criminal underground. Lansky managed the largest criminal gambling operations in the United States at that time and was highly successful, due in no small part to Lansky's practice of generously bribing law enforcement officers so they would look the other way and pretend not to notice Lansky's illegal acts. To hide his ill-gotten gains, Lansky used the services of Swiss banks, and eventually his criminal enterprises made him so wealthy that he actually bought a Swiss bank. Lansky's gang took time off from clipping suckers and murdering rivals to break up perfectly legal meetings of the pro-white and pro-national socialist German-American Bund, something Lansky freely admitted, outrageously violating the rights of both the speakers and the audience, and even resorting to acts of attempted murder, or at least manslaughter, by throwing attendees at their speeches out of windows. Lansky was quoted by the American Jewish Historical Society. Quote, "We went into action. We threw some of them out the windows. Most of the Nazis panicked and ran out. We chased them and beat them up. We wanted to show them that Jews would not always sit back and accept insults." Close quote. It was likely Lansky's violent suppression of free speech and assembly rights for whites that brought him into the ADL circle, who were working, a little more circumspectly, for the same thing. Another connection was Jewish mob attorney Aaron Sapiro, who worked for Lansky's father-in-law and was financial angel for his criminal operations. Sapiro is praised to this day by the ADL for his lawsuit against, quote-unquote, anti-Semite Henry Ford. Like the criminal ADL he supported, Lansky liked to make deals with the government, essentially making his mob into a partner of the Washington regime. One of those deals got his pal, Luciano, out of prison, free and clear, while Lansky and his killers got to run the docks in any bloody way they saw fit and get paid for it. Wikipedia tells us, quote, "During World War II, Lansky was also instrumental in helping the Office of Naval Intelligence's Operation Underworld, in which the government recruited criminals to watch out for German infiltrators and submarine-borne saboteurs. Lansky helped arrange a deal with the government via a high-ranking U.S. Navy official. This deal would secure the release of Luciano from prison. In exchange, the mafia would provide security for the warships that were being built along the docks in New York Harbor." Close quote. They didn't just watch out for saboteurs either. They killed anyone they thought was suspicious. And who knows how many of these killings took place and what their motivations really were. It's easy to use suspicion as an excuse for killing Bund members or anyone that Lansky and his gang didn't like. And all with the blessing of the United States government. Lansky is known to have ordered the murder of his own boyhood friend, Bugsy Siegel, by then a Las Vegas gambling boss. After the murder, two other Jewish mobsters, associates of Lansky, took over Siegel's operations. Lansky was surely a multimillionaire, perhaps even an early billionaire. But on his death, he left an estate worth only $57,000. Where did all the money go? Did the ADL get any of it? We don't know, but we do know that the Lansky connection to the ADL survived his death in the person of his granddaughter, who was liaison to law enforcement for the ADL and an ADL board member for many years. Valdis Bell continues his list of the Jewish ADL's criminal connections with Mo Dalitz, organized crime boss of Las Vegas. He was a longtime supporter of the ADL and a close friend of Meyer Lansky. In 1982, Dalitz received the quote-unquote Torch of Liberty Award from the ADL. Mo Dalitz was another prominent member of the Jewish mob and an associate of Lansky. Like Lansky, he supported the ADL. He began his criminal career as a business partner of the notorious Purple Gang, a Jewish mob who were known to have murdered at least 500 rivals and who murdered motorists for sport. Dalitz was close friends with the notorious killer Abe Bernstein, head of the Purple Gang. Researcher Cater Endless reveals that during his time as a Vegas big shot, Dalitz made a great number of charitable contributions to various different, ostensibly righteous organizations. One of the groups to receive significant largesse from Dalitz was none other than the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. They were pleased and in 1982 awarded Dalitz their Torch of Liberty Award. It would have been hard to think of a more ironic title. Dalitz was not alone in making donations to the ADL. Many of his co-conspirators and fellow travelers publicly made fiduciary assistance to the League as well, including lifetime syndicate members Victor Posner, Meshulam Rickless, Joe Binzi, and Edmund Safra. The ADL was naturally appreciative of the continued largesse of the casino mogul and his rogues gallery of shadowy friends, so much so that in 1985 the Human Rights Organization awarded Dalitz with yet another award, the Philanthropist of the Year Award. Yet today, if you were to search Mo Dalitz or Morris Barney Dalitz on the ADL's website, you'll be treated to a big, fat nothing. For Dalitz, as well as any mention of his donations and awards or connections, have been completely scrubbed from the ADL website and shunted down the memory hole of informational oblivion. Dalitz felt confident that the fix was in and he wouldn't be prosecuted when he openly admitted to a congressional committee investigating organized crime that he had been involved in illegal bootlegging. When angry words were exchanged once in a restaurant, the famous casino owner Dalitz, who would have been recognized by everyone there, said to the other party, quote, "I'll make one telephone call and you'll be dead in 24 hours," close quote. Valdis Bell's list of criminal figures associated with the ADL continues. Theodore Silbert, mafia frontman, worked simultaneously for the ADL and the Sterling National Bank, a mafia operation controlled by the Lansky Syndicate. Michael Milken, convicted financial criminal of junk bond fame, was a major contributor to the ADL. How many people lost everything they had, everything they'd worked their entire lives for, so that Milken and his ilk could become millionaires and billionaires? How many ended their lives because Jewish frauds like Milken scammed and tricked them? We never hear about them in the controlled media. But we do hear that a move is afoot to get Trump to pardon Milken, who only served 2 years for his Wall Street manipulations and continues to enjoy his ill-gotten wealth. Mark Rich, international fugitive and financial criminal, was hiding out in Switzerland to avoid prosecution for his crimes when he wrote a check for $100,000 to the ADL, who then proceeded to pull the necessary strings. He was then pardoned by President Bill Clinton on his last day in office. Rich later admitted that he had worked with the ADL-linked Mossad for years, and Israeli officials also intervened on his behalf with Clinton. Rich was another Jewish financial criminal and a fugitive from justice who fled to Switzerland to avoid facing charges that would have put him in prison for over 300 years. Shortly after Americans were taken hostage in Iran during the Islamic Revolution there, and when there was an embargo on trade with Iran, Rich arranged with the Ayatollah's revolutionary government to sell oil to a company owned by Rich in Israel, of all places, and the oil was shipped through a secret pipeline. Then Rich doubled the price and sold all he could get his hands on to energy-starved U.S. companies. Rich became fantastically wealthy and became a huge donor to the ADL and to Democratic candidates, including the man who pardoned him even as he was hiding overseas, Bill Clinton. The ADL and the Israeli Prime Minister were among those, quote-unquote, asking for the pardon. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the group that poses as a human rights organization, looking out for everyone's freedom and liberty, when nothing could be further from the truth. This is the group that arrogates to itself the right to train our police officers and is allowed to do so at our expense. Such is the disgusting hypocrisy and corruption and criminality and persecution of the innocent that prevails in our sick society today. It's time for us to start organizing to replace that society. And that is the purpose of the National Alliance, the sponsor of this program. And to succeed in that, we need your help. Be with us next week as we look at the further history of the ADL right here on American Dissident Voices. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. You can also help us by visiting natall.com/donate. That's natall.com/donate. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have. Shout.